Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast.
I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel.
Where you can master the art of enriching your life.
What kind of kindergarten shit is this?
And finding a path to financial freedom.
Who the fuck was supposed to teach me how to do my taxes?
So sit back, relax, and step into the Rich Room. You know I can't help but these, cause they know they can never touch these. So baby, let me talk my shit, or I might just throw another fit.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel. So I had this lovely plan to do my spending audit. I printed my statements. I finally got some highlighters. More on that later. I plan to take two shots of Class Azul before diving into my spending habits. But this entire plan, and really the next few days, was totally thrown off by possibly the worst massage I've ever had in my life. Okay, I'm going to tell you the story, but I want to emphasize that I'm going to do the spending audit, but I was just in no way in the proper headspace to dig through my choices. And you'll soon find out why. So before we get into all of that, I need to talk about the rap beef situation between Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole. So if you listen to my past few podcasts, or if you're a rap fan, you would know that there was a rap beef between Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole. Kendrick took the first shot when he appeared on the song Like That. We covered this. Well, J. Cole came back with a whole damn album called Might Delete Later. The album is strong, and the last song, 7-Minute Drill, really came out swinging. Okay, so I really didn't think J. Cole had it in him, but he went in on Kendrick. The only issue for me is that he started to heavily critique Kendrick's body of work, and the shit he was saying about Kendrick's music was just simply inaccurate. He talks about Kendrick's album putting people to sleep, that another album was tragic. None of that is true about any of Kendrick Lamar's albums. None of it. But J. Cole did take some shots, and some of them had some teeth. When he rapped, if he wasn't dissing, then we wouldn't be discussing him. I was like, oh, I swear, I was walking at like 5:30 a.m. in the morning listening to the album, and my jaw dropped when I heard that line because I was like, oh, J. Cole has a point. But Kendrick intentionally stays out of the limelight. I like the song because it feels like the competition between J. Cole and Kendrick really made J. Cole better. The talent between these two guys is unreal. I mean, they are fucking poets. While the J. Cole song was good, he said some things that were just undeniably false. So J. Cole seemed to feel the same way because at his music festival Dreamville, he apologized on stage for the diss track, calling it, quote, the lamest shit I ever did in my life, end quote. He apologized for downplaying Kendrick's catalog of music and his greatness. J. Cole also told Kendrick that he will take it on the chin if Kendrick decides to shoot back. Okay, so people on social media are saying that it's lame that J. Cole apologized and like, what has happened to rap? But I think this shows fucking growth. I think it's revolutionary. I think it's showing respect for his friend. I do not think it is lame at all. I think it's lame that people think rap won't be great without everyone fighting. Maybe it's time to fucking grow and evolve and come together. Maybe the music will be better than it's ever been before. I don't know. Let's fucking try it. Thank you, J. Cole, for showing people that there's another way. I'm kind of hoping that this gets used as a teachable moment and that Kendrick comes back with a, like, thought-provoking healing song. I mean, he had the fucking spiritual guru Eckhart Tolle on his album, Mr. Morale and the Worldwide Steppers. I mean, that is just like unheard of and so impactful and very healing, I might add. Speaking of someone who needs some healing, Lily Collins was a little parched and a little thirsty and needed some attention because she decided to comment about Beyonce's new album in a negative way. She said, should I do a bitter accent? It's very weird that you'd cover the most successful songs in the genre. I just feel like it's quite an interesting thing to do when you're like trying to tackle a new genre and you just choose the biggest song in that genre to cover. I mean, you do you, Beyonce, and she literally is doing her. Or is she doing Dolly?
First of all, bitch, did you even listen to the song Jolene? Because Beyoncé was very much doing Beyoncé. She even changed almost all the lyrics. Not to mention, she gave Dolly Parton full writing credit for the song and is the only credited writer on the track, so Dolly will get paid the full fucking writing credit.
I saw something on social media that said, I want George Washington replaced with Dolly Parton on the dollar bill, and I want people to call it the Dolly Bill. This is genius. This is a genius idea and one that everyone can get behind. Okay, back to Lily Allen. Where the fuck did you even come from? In the spirit of 7-Minute Drill, if you weren't dissing Beyoncé, we wouldn't be discussing you.
Matter of fact, didn't an article come out about a month ago where Lily Allen said that her children ruined her music career? That's what the article was about, right? Lily Allen said,
oh my God, should I go British again? I'm gonna try.
I never really had a strategy when it comes to career, but yes, my children ruined my career. I love them and they complete me, but in terms of pop stardom, they totally ruined it.
Well, babe, there are certainly many major artists who have thriving careers and also have children. Like, say, for instance, you know, just to give one example, something that just comes to the top of my head, I just picked this way out of space. Beyoncé. Beyoncé has an 11-year-old and 2 twin babies. The children didn't stop her. So I think it's fair to say that it wasn't the children that ruined Lily Allen's music career. Just an observation. Also, how awful for your children to have to read this article in the future that mommy's music career was ruined because of them. She has 2 young girls. I mean, damn, bitch, have a little forethought. Oh my God, side note, apparently Beyoncé is announcing on Friday, April 12th, her Cowboy Carter tour. Listen, I'm always happy that Beyoncé is going to tour, but damn, her ticket prices are really expensive, and there's a damn lottery, and I just saw her in September of last year in New Orleans. Listen, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I think it makes the most sense to release the Renaissance movie for purchase. I need the Renaissance movie. Can y'all believe that Cowboy Carter was completed before Renaissance, but Beyoncé chose to wait to release it after Renaissance because people had been cooped up inside for COVID and they needed to like get out of the house and dance? I just cannot believe she's been sitting on this album for years, knowing the impact it was going to have on the music industry. Okay, back to Cowboy Carter tour. I don't want to compete with any of these new hoes for tickets. I'm going to need the show to be in 2025. And I'm going to have to text my mom that I'm once again asking for her financial support a la Bernie Sanders. Like, I'm a little concerned because I didn't get into any of the pre-sales for Renaissance. There was like a lottery and I signed up for multiple cities and I didn't get shit. My good friend Mia let me use her pre-sale access. Man, that is a really good friend right there. Shout out to my good friend Mia. I love you, girl. Call me soon. Okay, it's time to talk about the shitty week I had, or should I say the bird shitty week. More on that later. So, it all starts off with some really bad low back pain that I had early last week. I've been ramping up the workout, and somehow I fucked up my lower back. I decided to go get a massage and try and alleviate the back pain and booked an appointment at this new place. I get to the place, I change, I get on the table, and it becomes very clear from the jump that this lady is a talker. I personally do not like to talk during my massages, but I'm too afraid of making someone else feel bad that I never say anything if the masseuse is talking to me. Most people can catch the drift. They can pick up what I'm laying down, the nonverbal cues, but not this bitch. Okay. So at the beginning of the massage, I told her that my left side is the problem area and that my lower back has been giving me trouble, but my entire left side needs work. She starts on the right. I'm like, okay. All my past massages, the masseuse worked on my problem side first, but this must be new and she must be coming back around. That's what I was thinking to myself. Then she's like rubbing her hand on my upper back in the middle, like right at the base of my neck. And I was like thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, this is a little unusual, but whatever.
She then starts like forming a circle around the like neck area on the back of my neck. And she's like, you have like a bump right here. It's because you have really high sodium intake and you don't drink a lot of water. I forgot the woman's name, but let's call her Kelly. I thought to myself, Kelly, that's my hump. My hump, my hump, my hump. Okay, I didn't say that. What I did say was, Kelly, I drink a lot of water, which is true. I drink so much water. I drink water all fucking day. Also, anytime I go to get Botox or filler, my doctor says he can tell how much water I've been drinking because my skin is so fucking moisturized. So go talk to him, bitch. She was like, well, not enough compared to your sodium intake. I was hung up on the water comment and failed to see that this bitch was out of fucking line for commenting on my body unsolicited. So she's like forming her hands around the hump on my neck and she like it's a ball of like Play-Doh or something. And she was like, does this cause any pain? I was like, no, it doesn't, Kelly, but it's part of my body that I'm insecure about. So you probably don't want to have to call it out again. It's as if she didn't hear me. Because then she took her forearm and was using it almost like a rolling pin in an attempt to flatten out my little neck hump. I'm thinking, bitch, that shit is not going anywhere. What the fuck do you think you're doing? Then, as she's trying to roll out my neck hump, she says, are you sure this doesn't hurt? You don't feel any pain? I was like, Kelly, girl, the only thing that you're hurting right now is my feelings. Like, come on, girl. This is ridiculous. She goes, well, I just wanted you to know that it was there. I snapped back, I know it's there. It's my body. Then the massage continued, and so did the fucking conversations from Kelly. She asked me all about my life. When did I move here? Why did I move here? What do I do for business? What do I do on the weekends? Normally, I would have been fine answering the questions about my life, but this bitch had just disrespected my hump, and I wasn't feeling real chatty. Like, if this had happened to me a year ago, I would have been fucking crying on that massage table. When she found out that my daughter was in college, she was like, oh my God, you must be going out all the time and partying all the time and going out. So much to do in Miami. Oh my God, you must be having the best time. You should definitely go out to a restaurant and have some wine and dinner. I mean, you could go by yourself. I was like thinking to myself, this bitch was hitting on every single emotional pain point and every insecurity that I had. I felt like Austin Powers when he was like, who sent you? Who do you work for? I'm like, bitch, did you listen to my podcast? Did you read my journal? Are you following me? What in the actual fuck? What was baffling to me is that she couldn't catch on to the fact that I did not want to talk. I mean, I was giving this bitch one-word answers. When she asked me why I moved here, I was like, oh, you know, it's kind of fresh and, you know, a little painful to talk about. And I don't really want to talk about it. She just kept fucking going on about how much sodium is in food and how there's this app that you can scan with the barcode and see how much sodium is in it when you're purchasing. And I felt like these were like passive aggressive comments about my hump. I kept thinking to myself, just keep going and once it's done, you'll get the fuck out of here. To top it off, she forgot to work on the top left quadrant of my back. This area is my major problem area, and I communicated that to Kelly from the jump, but she was so damn busy chit-chatting and forgot. What I wish I would have done was told her right in the beginning that I didn't really feel comfortable anymore and that I was gonna leave. The absolute fucking kicker is that this theory about sodium was incorrect. I went home and I researched. I couldn't find any article from Eastern or Western medicine to support her claim. So she's just out here hurting my feelings with inaccurate information. What the fuck? With respect to my hump, it's genetic. My mom has it. My grandmother had it. My daughter has it. And it's really not that big of a fucking deal. It's my body, like, take this shit up with God. Before this stupid hoe made her inappropriate comments, I hadn't even been worried about my hump or my body. I've actually been on like a self-love train for some time now. And the negative self-talk has been really, really quiet. And I liked that. I am saddened to report, however, that this bitch got in my head. She really fucking got to me. So I got this massage on a Friday, and as soon as I got home, I started crying. And then the crying didn't stop until Tuesday after I had to do a check-in with myself. Like, when I woke up on Saturday morning, I just could not stop thinking about what she said, and then I was so mad that I allowed it to go on instead of leaving at the beginning when I felt uncomfortable. Or, like, fucking check her. I wish I'd have said, like, you know, these comments are making me feel uncomfortable. Could you stop or else I'm going to leave? So Friday, I get home, I'm crying. Madison ended up coming over after her class, and we sat outside in the backyard. I was like, if I'm going to be sad and cry, I'm at least get a tan. And that temporarily distracted me from what had happened and my negative self-talk. Because Madison is so sweet, I just love hanging out with her. But when I woke up the next morning, that negative self-talk and that chatter crept back into my mind. And right when I woke up, I started fucking crying. I went for a walk to try and shake it. Still fucking cried on the walk. I was able to rein it in after I went to work out, and then me and Madison decided to watch movies and order in food. I should mention that on my way to Pilates on Saturday morning, a bird shit on my head. Now, I don't know if y'all know, but that is a sign of good luck if a bird shits on you. I did not make this up. This belief apparently first originated in Russia because being pooped on by a bird is actually pretty rare. According to HowStuffWorks.com, this rarity, combined with the positive symbolism of birds, has led many cultures to view bird poop as a blessing. In Catholic belief, bird droppings are seen as a sign of good fortune, while Turkish traditions consider it extremely lucky. Italian traditions go even further, associating bird poop with divine gifts from the god. Well, guess what, Italians, Catholics, and Turks? Oh my! Your girl was shit on 3 times this past week by, I'm assuming, 3 different birds. No way it's the same bird trying to bestow all of this luck on me. And the shit looked different, so it was definitely 3 different birds. Sorry, maybe that was TMI. But just like, you know, doing a little investigating, a little detective work, a little investigative journalism. There are some cultures, however, that believe certain birds are bad luck. Like in Hinduism, the droppings of a crow are seen as a sign of impending misfortune or illness. Similarly, in the UK, if a nocturnal bird, like an owl, poops on you, it's believed to bring bad luck. These interpretations serve as warnings to be cautious and prepared for potential challenges. Okay, I don't think that these birds were crows. In fact, I haven't seen a crow since I moved to Miami, and they definitely weren't owls because it was in the day all 3 times. But even if this was a warning of potential challenges, bring it fucking on, universe. I have realized that there will never be a time in my life where I won't have challenges. Lucky for me, I've already dealt with a lot of challenges in my life, so I'm really fucking good at it, universe. I knew it was rare for a bird to poop on you, but I didn't realize it was this rare. Apparently, the chances of being pooped on by a bird are even lower than being struck by lightning. Well, y'all just fucking stay tuned. Okay, so that happened on Saturday. Then on Sunday morning, I woke up and started crying again. It was like, what the fuck, bitch? Why can't I get this together? I mean, this hoe really fucked me up with this. I ended up talking to my mom and I told her what happened and that helped. But even after we got off the phone, I still couldn't shake the sadness completely. I told myself, well, bitch, if you're gonna cry all day, then you might as well clean while you do it. So on Sunday, I cried and I cleaned. I was supposed to do my spending on it on Sunday. I made a whole damn plan. I printed my statements. I had some groceries delivered on Saturday night, along with highlighters, to do my spending audit. Even though I was a crying sack of shit, I still planned to do my spending audit. I was going to take 2 shots of Clase Azul, sit down, and audit the fuck out of my spending. Probably while crying, but whatever. So when I wake up Sunday morning, I started to put the groceries away and I began looking for the pack of highlighters to prepare for my spending audit. And I'm looking through all the Target bags and I see some markers and I hold them up for inspection and I'm like, these are dry erase Expo markers. these aren't highlighters. You can't use an expo marker to highlight shit on a financial statement. It would look like redactions. So I frantically checked the rest of the bags to see that there are no fucking highlighters. And I'm like angry crying now. And I chuck those fucking expo markers across the room and I'm like, what the fuck? I took that as a sign from the universe to postpone my spending audit since I did not have any highlighters which were necessary for said spending audit. So Monday was the solar eclipse and the new moon in Aries. Surprise, surprise, I fucking woke up crying that morning again. I talked to my dad for a little bit and that made me feel better. But for some reason, Monday was the most emotional day I've had in a very long time. I feel like it has something to do with the new moon and the eclipse falling on the same fucking day. As I've said before, those planets and shit in space just move naturally in orbit, so they have to be affecting us on some level. So even though I was crying, there was a voice in my head that was like, hey bitch, I know you're really upset, but we just can't cry all day and not do anything. So if you're going to cry, you're going to get a tan. Despite my emotional state, the weather in Miami this past week was absolutely amazing. So I was really forcing my sad ass to be sad outside instead of inside. So when I was sitting outside during the eclipse, I was like, bitch, you can cry, get this all out because we have shit to do. And this fucking crying is only making your face and your eyes puffy and it's giving you a killer headache. So I let that shit go. Let it go. I cried and cried and cried and let that shit out. And you want to know what the other fucking kicker is? This might be TMI, but whatever. I just didn't have a period this month. It just like never came. And your girl ain't having any sex, so pregnancy is totally not even a possibility. This is what I told myself, right? But when you've had a child at 16, you kind of like get a little gun shy, you know, like once bitten, twice shy. And this is where I really started to spiral. I was like, what if this isn't another immaculate conception? Oh my gosh, no one would ever believe me. And it got me wondering that if that did happen again, if there was a woman who was like, an angel came to me and told me that God wants another son, so I'm going to be pregnant. Or maybe he wants a daughter this time. Well, I concluded that society as a whole most likely would not believe her. So I'm going to get real pissed if there's an immaculate conception brewing without my knowledge. In all honesty, I think the recent stress is the reason, but I'm going to make an appointment with a gynecologist anyway, so just to get checked out. Okay, so Tuesday comes around, and so do the fucking tears. I was like, why? So this is when I had to have a check-in with myself. I was like, bitch, I know you're sad, but crying about it is making everything fucking worse. You're on like day 5 of basically continuous crying and you're not going to be able to get all of your shit done with a massive crying headache. You have to rein it in. I had a call with this woman in Dubai who was also taking the same business course as me and we have similar businesses. So it's been really nice to have someone to talk to who is in a very similar position. And that call was Tuesday morning. I thought about canceling the call, but I went ahead with it. Like, I don't like canceling on people. And I'm glad I didn't because it helped to start pull me out of the emotional state a little bit. One major pain point for me is the design of the website. And it can feel very overwhelming and very foreign when you don't have a background in website design. But my friend in Dubai showed me her site on the same platform and showed me how to tweak little things. So now I feel much more empowered and equipped to design my site. After the call, I told myself that I would go to the grocery store and get a few things, but most importantly, I was going to get my fucking highlighters for my spending audit. You better believe I reached out to Instacart for a refund too. I was like, Instacart, I have no use for these things. I do not have a whiteboard. Your shopper fucked up. The crazy thing is that when I placed my order, I made a highlighter selection and then provided a backup option just in case the first selection was sold out. Did I receive the backup option? No. I received fucking expo markers. Okay. I went to the grocery store on Tuesday to get my highlighters, and an adorable man who worked at Publix brought my groceries to my car. I haven't had that type of service in years. He was so sweet. We chatted while we walked to the car. I asked him how his day was and about the weather. You know, I kind of hate small talk. Like, I fucking hate it. It's meaningless. I was talking to my brother the other day, and he said that the phrase, "How are you?" is the most hollow, overused phrase in the English language, and I agree. Charlamagne from The Breakfast Club is coming out with a book called Get Honest or Die Lying on May 21st. According to Charlamagne's website, the book gives a rundown on how small talk from small minds have taken over our world and the big conversations needed to climb our way back. I'm going to read this. All right, so instead of saying, how are you, what can we say to people? What are you struggling with most today? What's going on in your world? Or maybe, what the fuck is up, bitch? So I got through Tuesday. Madison came over. I can't remember why, but she did. Oh, and I had therapy on Tuesday, so that for sure helped. I don't know what the fuck it was about this masseuse that just totally opened the floodgates, but I was doing my best to shut it down. Wednesday, I woke up feeling a lot better. There were no tears that morning. I got up, went for a walk, drank coffee, did a little work on my business, and prepared for the virtual class that I had that day. I was sitting at my computer. It was about 10:30 a.m., and my class started at 11 a.m., and I actually had another class right after it. And as I'm looking at my computer preparing for my class, the fucking power goes out. It was at this time that I immediately remembered the voicemail I received from Florida Power and Light that the power would be off for 4 hours while repair work was done to the power lines. I thought to myself, okay, we are going to spiral up with this latest development. What is spiraling up, you might ask? Well, spiraling up is a new concept that I just discovered, and it's my rich bitch tip of the week. I haven't been doing the rich bitch tips because these episodes have been chock full of rich bitch tips from our rich BFF, Vivian Too. I discovered this concept Wednesday morning after I saw a video on social media before the power went out. And when I told Madison about it, she actually coined the term spiraling up. So the video I saw was of this man named Erwin Raphael McManus. The headline read, "Man Explains Why People Should Overthink About Positive Outcomes." I was like, okay, you have my attention. And so I slide on to the video. And I watch the video, and Erwin said, "We as humans never overthink about positive scenarios. We always overthink about negative scenarios. We spend so much time creating and obsessing over endless negative scenarios in our head, but we never shift the perspective to be positive, because then we can create all the positive scenarios for ourselves. It's very easy to fall into a negative scenario, so we have to direct ourselves to the proper mindset." So instead of me being like, I'm going to move to Europe if my product launch fails, I should switch it to something like, I'm going to make so much money from my product launch. And instead of being like, I'm going to be single forever, I'm like, I'm going to find the perfect partner. So it just like switches your perspective. We fall into negative patterns, but we have to actually direct ourselves to move into positive thought patterns. We don't just fall into positive patterns. We have to do the work to move into a positive pattern. I thought this was very profound. I sent Madison the video and she was like, oh, so instead of spiraling down, you spiral up. I was like, girl, that is genius. I like have a visual. So when I think of spiraling in a bad way or spiraling down, I think of like visually going down a fire pole at the playground. I mean, shit, you could say a stripper pole too. So when you're spiraling down, you're just going round and round and round. And the lower you get, the worse the negative scenarios become. And there doesn't seem to be a floor, does there? It's not like you're just a stripper and spiraling down to do a perfect split landing. No, your mind doesn't have a floor, and the spiraling just keeps going down and down and down. Although it doesn't always feel like it, we have the option to stop the downward spiral. We can choose to think about more positive scenarios. It's not easy, but it's possible. Okay, so I tried spiraling up when the power went out on Wednesday. I had totally forgotten about the scheduled power outage and was literally preparing for my virtual class when the power went out. Now, I could have gotten upset and been so angry about the power going out and then angry at myself because I forgot about it, but I literally said out loud to myself, "I'm spiraling up." Otherwise, I would have been really, really, really hard on myself. And if being hard on myself worked, it would have worked already. So honey, I spiraled up and decided to sit outside and read a book. Honestly though, what were my options? I had no power, so that meant no internet, which meant no TV or no computer. And I guess I could have packed up all my stuff and go to the library or go to Starbucks or go to something like that. But I didn't know how widespread this power outage was, and I really didn't feel like getting all my shit together, driving around and trying to figure out somewhere to go. I just didn't want to. So I changed into my swimsuit, applied some 50 SPF, and enjoyed the time outside. Because no power meant no construction around me, so it was generally pretty peaceful outside. I talked to my sister on the phone, which was so lovely, and I talked to my brother, which I haven't done in a while. It was really nice catching up and filling them in on what I've been going through. While I was sitting outside enjoying the day and the beautiful weather, I got shit on twice by a bird. Again, I'm presuming not the same bird. I knew that being shit on once a few days ago was a rarity, and here it happened twice in the same day while I'm sitting in the same spot. Granted, I was sitting under a tree, but it was a palm tree, and there were birds around, but only a few here and there. It wasn't like they were swarming or anything. So this has to be super fucking rare, right? I mean, this must mean that I am the universe's favorite, right? Has anyone else out there been shit on by a bird 3 times in a week? Honestly, it hasn't even quite been a week, so it could happen again. I have photographic evidence of the bird shit show too. I don't know why, but I've been doing this thing that when something significant happens to me, I will take a picture of myself. And I did that all 3 times during this bird shit show. Suffice it to say, I got out of my emotional funk and am now back on track, and I'm going to work every day to spiral up. Oh, also, my power did not come back on for 8 fucking hours. So once the sun started to kind of set, the mosquitoes started coming out in my backyard, and I don't play that shit. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go on the front porch to see if that is a better situation. And it was. There weren't any mosquitoes over there. And I was like, when the fuck is this power going to come back on? And then all of a sudden I see a power truck driving by my house, and he turns the corner and I hear him backing up. And I was like, if this dude backs up, I'm going to flag him down and ask about my power. So he comes back around. I flag him down, ask him about the power. He says he's going to go check on it. I would say maybe about 30 minutes later, the power comes back on. The power was out from 10:30 a.m. till 6:30 p.m. I mean, so that's why this podcast is fucking late. But the man who I had flagged down was so sweet. He came back and knocked on my door to make sure that I had power. I was so fucking grateful for that. Okay, I have been looking for meaning in this whole massage situation. After a lot of self-reflection over the last year, I realize that I have trained my environment and basically all of my relationships to not worry about me, because I never say that anything is wrong. But what I keep coming to is that I pretty much did this to myself, and now I'm sad. So the good thing about the my hump debacle is that I got so sad and so down that I was like, fuck it, I gotta reach out to my mom. And then I did the same thing with my dad, which I feel like I've almost never done. So that was great. Then I talked to my brother and my sister and was very upfront with them about how I've been struggling, and it sparked a lot of discussion. And now we are all communicating more, and it feels really nice. So, is it possible that this woman actually did me a favor? That's how I'm choosing to interpret it. So, thank you, Kelly. I will never return, but I appreciate your contribution to my journey. Okay, let's change the fucking subject because I'm sick about talking about birdship and my hump. My hump, my hump, my hump. Kristen Doty needs Jesus, y'all. So Kristen is on the Valley. And apparently one of the cast members, Michelle, said something about the don't say gay laws and how they protect children, which is false, but that's not the point. Then Janet heard about Michelle's feelings about the laws and then spoke to Jasmine, who is gay, and was like, if this ever comes up, you know, you're really, you know, educated on these issues. Maybe it would be a good teachable moment. That's how she said it on the show, but I'm sure it was a little more harsh in real life. Jasmine told Zach, who is also gay, and then he relayed the message to Kristen that Michelle might be Republican because of these views. Well, Kristen apparently spun it and said that Janet was talking shit that Michelle is a Republican and therefore racist. Okay, first of all, Zach saying that if you are a Republican in LA and you're an outcast, that's kind of sad. That's like not really inclusive. Like, y'all, remember who the real enemy is. It's not each other. I have to say, it's also kind of lame to call someone a racist just because they are Republican. Like, we are never going to get anywhere with that kind of shit. It's also really reckless to be calling someone a racist on national TV without presenting any evidence of said racism. I mean, but that's what Kristen wanted, right? She was getting grilled and wanted the heat off her. She felt backed into a corner and said some crazy shit. And now she's trying to play victim in a situation that she created. Someone was like, Kristen, you need help. And she's like, I've been in therapy for 9 years. Bitch, it might be time to switch therapists. Matter of fact, I think it might be time for Kristen Doty, Lindsay Hubbard, and Monica Garcia, who just announced that she's pregnant, by the way, all claim to have been in therapy for years, but it does not appear to be moving the needle all that much. I think we need a new show on Bravo where all these therapists are interviewed. The patients would have to consent, of course, but damn, that would be interesting. Kristen is really good for reality TV. She pulls all this shit with the racist comment. Everyone is mad at her. And then she sends a cryptic text to Michelle saying that she's going to keep her secrets for her. Those are fighting words to me. Oof, damn, Kristen. Like, come on. I like that we saw more of Jackson Brittany's son, Cruz, and how he's dealing with a bit of a speech delay. Y'all don't worry too much about these babies in a timeline. I realize I'm not a doctor and that there are definitely times where there are conditions that need diagnosing, but most of the time these babies just need to grow up on their own time. I think it's great that Jackson Brittany got help early on from a speech therapist, and Cruz is even making some progress in the first session. And I'm sure so many people relate to that. Okay, I love Jason and Janet. They are definitely the smartest in the group and seem to be the most educated and reasonable. Jason is a lawyer, and it's about damn time that we got a real working lawyer on a reality TV show. I know we have people who are technically lawyers, but Jason is a litigator. That's the real shit right there. Like, we have all these TV personality lawyers, but Jason is like a regular ass dude who's working remotely with the ultimate work from home outfit. Business on the top with a long sleeve button down shirt and a tie, and party on the bottom with sweatpants and slippers. That is my kind of shit right there. So I love that Janet is involved with Be The Match. It's an organization for bone marrow transplants that connects donors with people who need life-saving marrow or blood stem cell transplants. I actually think it's really easy, and they just swab your mouth to check to see if you are a match with someone. I worked with a girl years ago who was involved in this organization and even wrote a successful children's book. It's called The Junk Bike Crew and Maddie's Match. Her name is Liz Williams, and she's one of the kindest people I've ever met in my life. I also love her husband, Alex. I worked with him as well. Anyways, Janet is planning a gala to celebrate her friend who was a recipient of a transplant. I couldn't even fucking concentrate on the gala because Kristen Doty arrived in Birkenstock sandals. Kristen, this is not good. People are in formal tuxes and gowns, and you're in Birkenstock sandals? Like, what the hell are you doing, girl? Damn, honey, maybe you are ready to move to Colorado. I really applaud all these couples for openly talking about their struggling sex lives. I know couples on TV want to portray that they are banging all the time, but I just feel like they are lying or really embellishing. It takes some courage to admit that you've lost your spark on national TV. I mean, Jesse and Michelle admitting that they haven't had sex in like 3 years is really candid. Oh my gosh, I cannot stop thinking about those Birkenstocks. Okay, Kristen and her Birkenstocks need to figure out what the fuck she wants, though. She and Luke want to have a baby. I mean, they are even tracking her ovulation. But Luke does not want to live in LA, and Kristen says she doesn't want to leave California. Honey, your Birkenstocks at the Be The Match Gala say otherwise. I don't want to say Jax Taylor is right, but damn it, Jax Taylor might be right, and Kristen shouldn't have a baby with Luke. Listen, say what you want about Luke, though. The boy can do some romancing. He took Kristen out on a date night and had his friends set up a massage table, flowers, and candles in the home when they returned. Like, bravo, Luke. That seems to be the common issues with all the married couples. All the spouses are saying that the romance has died in their marriage. I feel like as women, we were told that men would romance us and wine and dine us. And I think someone forgot to tell the men that this is the case. Like, fuck these dudes and their lack of romance. We need to romance ourselves. Y'all, Jesse really thinks he looks so good in that abstract art-looking dinner jacket with the white bow tie. I felt personally offended by Jesse's outfit. It was loud. It was confusing. It actually would have been fine if he didn't have a white tuxedo bow tie as well. The jacket feels casual, but according to Jesse, he's like, this is a real dinner jacket. You know, Jesse's jacket was offensive, but not as offensive as Kristen in those Birkenstock sandals. Like, is she injured? Is there a reason she can't wear heels? Y'all, I just realized that hurricane season will be upon us soon, and I need to make a hurricane evacuation plan. Also, if there's a hurricane, I need to have a way to protect myself and my house. And quite frankly, I feel very ill-equipped to defend myself physically. Like, if someone attacked me on the street, I would be like, oh my God, please no. I've never learned how to fight. I'm considering taking some self-defense classes. Because if it comes down to a fight, I should be able to know some moves. So in that same vein, I think I'm going to need a gun to defend my house. Oh my God, that is the most Southern thing I've ever said. But for real. And the embarrassing thing is that I've never, ever shot a gun. How the hell does that happen? I grew up in the South. Well, just in case anyone was thinking of fucking with me, I don't. Because I have signed up for a self-defense gun class and they will be also helping me purchase a firearm of my very own. So I'm going to be fucking strapped and trained. So don't fuck with me. In all serious though, I feel like a gun is essential in a post-hurricane area. Like, you can't take those kind of chances. That is it, y'all. Be sure to follow me on social media at Lindsay_Sobel and also follow at The Rich Room Podcast. Have a great fucking weekend, y'all. I'm gonna try not to be late next time, but I can't make any fucking promises. See you later, sinners.